The conservation efforts at Zoos Victoria in Australia are truly exceptional, especially as they try to save native species like the Tasmanian devil. Jennifer Gray is the CEO of Zoos Victoria, who will be at our zoo on Wednesday, March 23rd. Hi, Jenny. This is Thane Maynard, director at Cincinnati Zoo.
Thane, good to meet you.
Thanks for spending some time with us, and thanks especially for coming in a couple of months. We look very much forward to hearing your story.
I'm really excited to be there. I think it's going to be fun.
Tell us a bit about your commitment that I've read about, that at your zoo, which is Zoos Victoria, you've made a commitment to fight extinction, particularly of the mammals from your region.
Back in 2009, we were involved in a rescue mission where, and I think this happens to zoos from time to time, a species is in so much trouble that the authorities finally turn around and say to the zoo, can you go and help us? Can you help save the species? At that point, they thought there were 20 left. But when we got there, we literally arrived in time to watch the species go extinct.
Mm.
By the time we arrived, there was one bat left. And for us, that was really a tipping point moment where we said, this is terrible. We can't be at that point in time where we now watch species go extinct and we're powerless to help. And so we've made the promise that none of our own species, no Victorian terrestrial vertebrate species, would go extinct on our watch. And that decision has really steered the work we've been doing for the last 5 or 6 years, and certainly will steer the work we do for the next foreseeable future to make sure that no more animals go extinct on our watch.
Well, that's remarkable, because I know that's not an easy goal to live up to. Now, tell us in particular, I know you work with Tasmanian devils, and they very famously are having a tough time with their facial cancer. How is the work going with the devils?
The devils, as you say, is a really sad and poignant story, and one where absolutely it's up to our generation to make a difference. They're suffering from a facial tumor. It's a contagious cancerous growth. And if you think of that, we know how devastating cancer is. Imagine you could catch it as you just went about your daily life.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happens is that a healthy devil comes across the carcass of an infected animal or a live infected animal. And because they bite all kinds of things, they eat carrion, they bite into those tumors and they pick up the cancerous cells in their mouths and they die within 6 months, a very nasty, painful death. Where we've seen the tumors occur in Tasmania, we lose 90% of the animals in a very quick space of time. Current projections are we will lose all the devils in Tasmania due to this disease, because we certainly haven't found a cure to the disease. And so the only hope now is having disease-free populations. And there's about 22 zoos in Australia and a number of zoos now increasingly worldwide that are holding Tasmanian devils to keep the disease-free population going. There's also a project now which is looking to create disease-free populations on either islands or peninsulas where the population can be isolated and no new diseases introduced. And so this is a great case where the only answer is captive breeding. The only answer is creating disease-free populations. How's it going? We have lots of devils. They breed well once you get your program up and running. In Zoo Victoria, we hold about 50 adult devils, up to 80 adult devils at any given time. And we breed strongly based on the recommendations of the recovery program. And so that's where other zoos are now coming in to help us, holding excess animals or animals that aren't part of that population. But the next big thing is to make sure that we're keeping them, as we said, on islands and peninsulas where we don't lose wild behaviors as well.
That is remarkable. And also, I imagine it's pretty complex to have a facility where you can have 80 Tasmanian devils. That's an active problem to solve every day.
It's a problem in a couple of ways. One, anyone who's worked with devils is they're feisty. They growl and snarl and snap. You can't keep them in big groups. You have to keep them in isolation. They're an individual species. They don't run in a pack. So that means lots of small spaces. They're also very fussy about who they mate with. The girls get to choose, and they're quite picky on who they like. And so to make sure you're getting the right levels of genetic diversity has some challenges as well.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, they cost money. They eat quite a lot.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
There's a lot involved in making sure that we have a disease-free population, and more that we keep those natural behaviors. So we have our keepers working all the time on making sure that they don't eat every day, that they eat in the ways they would eat in the wild, mm-hmm. and that we keep them busy and we keep their minds occupied as well.
I know one of the other species that your zoo's renowned for working with is the eastern barred bandicoot. Explain to listeners what a bandicoot is.
Okay. A bandicoot is a fairly small, think rabbit-sized brown marsupial. They're what I call small brown hoppy thing. And the eastern barred bandicoot was widely spread across Victoria in the past. It's a grassland species. It evolved in a time where the only predation in Australia was aerial predation, so birds of prey, owls, those kind of things. And so they see a predator and they hide in a bush and they keep really, really still. And that was fine until occupation of Australia and introduction of cats and foxes. Mm-hmm. And they just can't survive where there's a fox population, because if you sit still in a bush, a fox just walks along and eats you. And so we've lost them in the wild. They're currently listed as extinct in the wild. They were found probably about 25 years ago living in a rubbish tip. And so we have a population that has now been living in the zoo since then. We can hold them and breed them really successfully in zoos. But what we're working on now is a program of getting them back into the wild. Mm-hmm. And that means creating fox-free zones. In August last year, we actually released them back onto an island that's fox-free. And so that's really exciting. It's the first truly wild population where there's no fences involved. Obviously, fences is the other option. But over the next 5 years, we'll be breeding up and releasing and putting back into the wild over 2,500 bandicoots. And we're hoping to bring the species back from extinct in the wild into a fully functioning population.
That is great and difficult work. Jenny, tell us a bit about yourself, because though many of these things are conservation challenges, even veterinary challenges, your background earlier on was in the business world.
Yeah, I'm actually not it always surprises people. I have no animal training, although I can give you endless anecdotes about cool stuff about animals. I'm actually an engineer by training. I'm a civil engineer with my undergraduate, and I did postgraduate in transportation engineering. But across sort of time, after I'd done quite a lot of time in transport, and I spent a bit of time in the commercial world with an MBA as well, worked in banking, I was offered this unique opportunity of getting involved in the zoo world. And honestly, I've never looked back. It's the most exciting, challenging, dramatic world I've ever worked in.
When you come to see us this spring, you'll meet our civil engineer, who's played a big role at our zoo, making us recognized as the greenest zoo in America. And he often says the slogan that if the world is going to be saved, it will be saved by civil engineers.
What I love as well is you're really hard-pressed to find civil engineers that are still working in civil engineering. We
right.
need to do all kinds of things.
Thank you for spending some time with us. This is a great story, and by listening to it, I hope listeners come to your talk. We'll have a lot of fun on March 23rd.
Thanks, Dana. I'm really looking forward to it. I've heard a lot about the Cincinnati Zoo, and your reputation precedes, so it's a great honor to be invited to be part of that talk, and I look forward to sharing some of the stories of what we're up to in Zoos Victoria, and I think the stories of how zoos are truly making a difference. Mm-hmm. I think in the next 10 years, people will start to understand that zoos have a skill set that the world desperately needs right now.
That's right. Jenny Gray, thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Dane. I look forward to catching up with you when I get there.
You bet. My guest has been Jenny Gray, CEO of Zoos Victoria in Australia.